Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. I am Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and today we are looking at the civil war that has engulfed America. On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, we are looking at the swift and startling assault on an entire demographic of our nation, one that increases in ferocity on an hourly basis, and all of it done in the name of preserving our democracy. Constitutional rules have been suspended, punitive damages inflicted, and as we see the deep state Democrats rolling out a true totalitarian regime, these new dictators, having seized power, are now a law unto themselves, writing and rewriting history in the process. The swamp has not been drained. It has been dramatically expanded. And the dark deeds once done behind closed doors now play out on C-SPAN. You're not paranoid. They are coming for you. And on every imaginable and possible level. The new American Civil War has been won, and not by the patriots. The day of darkness has arrived. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing. We ask you, Lord, to meet with us today. And most of all, Father God, we ask you to let us see Jesus Christ in all of this, Lord. We're not called to the left side or the right side. We're not called under the red banner or the blue banner. We're called, Lord, as soldiers of the cross. Your word says that we may please him who has called us to be soldiers. And that's exactly what we are. We are your saint army. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't reach for guns and knives and sticks and bats. We have the word of God. We have the King James Authorized Version 1611 Holy Bible. That's the weapon of our warfare, is your word. And Lord, give us courage and give us comfort and give us hope. And as we see these things coming to pass, Lord, let us see you in all these things. And we pray, Father, that you would just watch over everybody and give us a special blessing. Take care of the needs that we have, whether they be for finance or for protection, for preservation, boldness in witnessing, whatever it may be, Lord. As a church family, we come before you and we ask you to bless us and watch over us and meet with us today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good afternoon, everybody, and happy Friday. It's a crazy week. We told you that 2021 was going to be a crazy year, but it's almost exceeded our expectations, and we look for these things all day, every day. And 2021 hasn't quite exceeded the level that we set for it, but it's really, really close. And who knows what's going to happen over the next couple of days. I made a lot of people mad the other day when I wrote this article. Stop forwarding QAnon emails saying that Trump is going to overturn the election. The whole thing is a psyop and you're being played. I wrote that. And a lot of you supported that, and almost an equal number of you got mad at me for saying that. And let me tell you something. Those emails that have been going around like wildfire, and when I say that these emails are everywhere, they are literally everywhere. People that I wouldn't think in a million years would buy into this stuff have bought into it. And it's really, I mean, you have to give the deep state credit because they have played this QAnon thing to the hilt and they have confused many, many, many Christians. So what type of email am I talking about? Well, it sounds a little bit like this. Have you received an email that says this? It's happening! Military takedowns and arrests, they'll begin this weekend and will continue forward for the next 13 days and night. International raids have already started. Pope Francis was arrested in the Vatican. Have you gotten an email like that? Marines and National Guard troops are being moved as needed for the riots that will start after the national release of the intel. Trump will be moved continuously like a chess piece from now until the 20th in order to avoid any retaliation against him and his family. His press release of a, quote, smooth transition, end quote, does not include the word concede, as he has no plans to do so. And the smooth transition of power will be Trump's new cabinet and his new vice president, General Flynn. Now, be honest. Have you received emails like that? Have you forwarded those emails? And have you gotten all excited saying that Trump has this plan and he's playing 4D chess and all this stuff? Trump isn't playing 4D chess or 3D chess or even 2D chess. Trump isn't playing any chess at all. And I have said this. I said it nicely at first. I've been saying it for a long time now. Donald Trump has no plan. There is no last-minute uprising. The 25,000 troops that are now stationed all around downtown Washington, around the White House and around the Capitol, and all those fences that they've been putting up, and all those National Guard and all those Army militia, none of those people are going to storm Congress and arrest Nancy Pelosi for certifying a false election. So, I hate to tell you, but it's not true. None of that is true. It is not going to happen. So, if you have an email like that, you have two options. You can print it out and you can frame it and put it up on your wall, or you can delete it. But I'm begging you, stop, stop, stop. Stop forwarding these emails. It's Kat just said it's a bunch of garbage. B says people who are conservative have sent me QAnon. No conservative Christians should be reading that stuff. And they shouldn't be. So I'm not going to belabor this point, but I just wanted to start the program. Today is January 15th, 2021. And everybody who believes the QAnon emails, if that's what you believe, then let's take a look. Between today, January 15th, which is Friday, and Tuesday, January 19th, that is the time period that QAnon has been calling for the uprising. And everybody is saying that that's when Trump is going to mobilize the troops. So, hey, I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is. And I'm stating publicly on the record, I wrote the article and now I'm saying it vocally, none of that is going to happen. And if it does happen, I will write an article. I will publish it on Now the End Begins, and I'll leave it up all day and all night in the number one spot saying how I misread the entire situation. I was wrong. They were right. QAnon was correct the whole time. And I have no problem doing that. And the reason why I can very confidently say that is because those things are not going to happen. That is just, it is malicious rumor. So, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, just delete those emails. Do not forward them to anybody. And most of all, you know, the Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And that's very, very true. But the Bible also says that a false hope is a wicked and evil thing. And it's one thing to take away hope from people, but to give them a false hope, well, that's very, very, very bad. And I just want to talk some sense into you guys. The vast majority of you are on, we're all on the same page, and we all understand these things. It's really only like a fringe element of Christians who believe these emails. And again, if I'm wrong, I will publish an article and I will admit it, and I will leave it up there for all the world to see and all the world to read. But we will definitely meet back here on the podcast on Monday, Lord willing, and that will be one day before everything is supposed to happen, and we'll see what the temperature will be after the end of this weekend. So, that's my take on all these emails, because so many of you have been calling me and writing me and asking me and messaging me, what do I think about all this stuff? Well, I just told you, that's exactly what I think about all that stuff. I think it's a bunch of junk. And I think the whole thing is part of a psyop, a psychological operation. And these type of things come, well, you call it the deep state. But what is the deep state? The deep state is rogue members of our government who utilize facilities like the CIA and the FBI to plant stories and to plant things that aren't true and to rile people up. The whole object of everything was to create civil war and get Americans fighting with each other and get Americans down each other's throats and to really raise the temperature, which causes violence and confusion. That was the whole goal the whole time. And, Democrats love violence and noise and confusion. Take a listen to this. The same Democrats who right now are saying how terrible it was on January 6th when they stormed the Capitol. And you know as well as I do that there was plenty of Antifa and plenty of Black Lives Matter people mixed in with those patriots. But this is what Democrats say about violence. Take a listen.
I don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right up to the right.
Why? Yes. He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
And there is the moral authority of our nation, the Democratic Party. Every single voice that you just heard in that clip belongs to a Democrat. And they have been inciting violence for the entire time that Donald Trump has been president. If you remember, and if you forget, you can go to YouTube and you can pull up the dozens and dozens of videos that are there. Do you remember when Donald Trump first became president and they blocked off the streets in New York City and they threw firebombs at Trump Tower and they attacked the police and thousands of Antifa and Black Lives Matter and Occupy Wall Street and all those people, all those George Soros funded people? Don't you remember the months and months worth of Molotov cocktails and attacks against the police and attacks against law enforcement and the calling to have Trump assassinated? The Democrats seem to forget all that. But they don't forget. They know it's all a trick. It's all a game. It's all theater. What you're watching is theater. It has deadly consequences. There's no question about it. People actually die. People actually get destroyed. People's livelihoods get taken away. People's reputations get shattered. Those things are real consequences. But the thing that causes all that destruction and mayhem, that's theater. That stuff is not real. I had already left the Republican Party after I watched the Republicans attempt to do battle with Barack Obama and his Marxist buddies. And I got so disgusted with the Republican Party and how weak and ineffective and how hypocritical and how two-faced that they were. I actually said about halfway through Obama's second term that I had left the Republican Party and I would never, ever vote again. That's how disgusted that I was, not just with the Democrats, but that's how disgusted I was with the Republicans. And then Donald Trump comes along, and then, well, we know what happened, and I voted for him back in 2016, and I'm very glad that I did. I voted for him in 2020. If an election was tomorrow, I would vote for him again. But I will never, ever again be part of the Republican Party. And just like this year was the year that finally broke my addiction with watching sports, I've been a lifelong Yankees fan. I've been a lifelong Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And I don't watch a whole lot of sports, but I really love a good baseball game. I love to watch my Pittsburgh Steelers play football. But I felt so betrayed this year. Last year, actually. I felt so betrayed in 2020, where everywhere that you looked, Major League Baseball, Major League Basketball, Major League Football, and everywhere that you looked, they turned the games into propaganda broadcasts for social justice people. And all white people were bad. All people of color were suddenly good and innocent. And everywhere that you looked, they had banners and all this stuff up. And, hashtag say her name, hashtag say his name. They don't ever say the name of David Dorn. And you won't hear them say the name of David Dorn, because David Dorn was a black man who was killed at the beginning of the riots back in June of 2020. And he was a black man killed by black people who represented Black Lives Matter. So when I saw that National League Football, and even, yes, my Pittsburgh Steelers, they began to start sporting hashtags, say his name hashtags, I didn't just get mad, I got furious, absolutely furious. And I have not watched one game, not one baseball game, not one football game. And my Pittsburgh Steelers, they had a pretty good year. They got right up into the playoffs. They went 12-0 the first 12 games, and they were having a great, great, great season. But I didn't watch one single minute of any one of those games, because it disgusts me to such a high degree that these things that we've all grown to love in our culture and all these things, it's like everything is turning on us. And just the sheer hypocrisy of the Black Lives Matter movement. I'm not talking about black people. The lives of black people are very, very important, and they should be. But so are the lives of Jewish people and brown people and Asian people. And white people, everybody's lives are important. And when any one group of people is singled out for harassment, that's something that should upset every single one of us. We should all be willing to stand against racism and sexism and anti-Semitism. We should all be willing to stand up for the side of the people who are legitimately oppressed by other people. But in our day and age, the people who are claiming to be oppressed are actually the oppressors. And that's just a very interesting turn of events. Now, you may have read in the news yesterday that they just arrested a man by the name of John Sullivan. And they arrested him in connection with the riots that took place on January 6th at the Capitol. Now, if you're a regular listener of Now the End Begins. And if you tune into this podcast every Monday and every Friday, you would know exactly who John Sullivan is, because we played the clip for you of what John Sullivan believes and what he thinks and who he works for and what he stands for. If you listen to our show on Monday, this clip that I'm about to play for you right now, we played it for you on Monday, and I told you that the riot at the Capitol was a combination of Trump supporters, Black Lives Matter, and Antifa. And all the fake news media, their propaganda machine went into overtime trying to squelch all the information. And this guy, John Sullivan, that we told you about, we exposed him right here on this program on Monday. Yesterday, this man was arrested. This is what John Sullivan believes.
What's going on, everybody? My name's John Sullivan. I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. My group is Insurgents USA. We fucking about to burn this shit down. Fuck this shit. Who, anybody out here seeing that white militia guy shoot three kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck that guy. And I will tell you, this shit is in Utah. A whole bunch of white militia came out there, formed against our group. We out there strapped. We out there ready to burn that shit down. We out there to defend our fucking self. We gotta defend ourselves now too. We do. Because power to the people. Power to the people.
Power to the people.
Damn right. We gotta fucking rip Trump out of that office right over there. Fucking pull him out that shit. Nah, we ain't about fucking waiting till the next election. We about to go get that motherfucker. I ain't about that shit. Because you know what time it is? I want y'all to be after me. It's time for a revolution. It's time for a revolution. It's time for a revolution.
So that's John Sullivan. And he was one of the main people who were photographed inside the Capitol as the riots were taking place on January 6th. And not only was John Sullivan there, but John Sullivan was there with about 200 of his buddies, and they were all mixed in with Trump supporters. I would say, based on all the information that I've seen, I would say it was about an equal one-third split. If we're going to hypothetically say that there were 1,200 people there that day. I don't know how many people actually broke into the Capitol, but let's just say hypothetically that there were 1,200 people that stormed the gates and broke into the Capitol. Well, 400 of them were with Antifa, 400 of them were there with Black Lives Matter, and about 400 of them who were there were Trump supporters, and they all kind of mixed together. And everything got all confused and everything got all excited. But that clip that I just played for you, you heard him saying, let's go into the White House and let's rip Donald Trump out. Well, what was the effect that those riots had? Those riots were the excuse that the left needed to begin drastic and dramatic draconian lockdowns and censorship of a very, very large group of people. Roughly 75 million people joined me in voting for Donald Trump back in November. Around 75 million Americans. And now there is a movement underway, and it is endorsed by every single Democrat and, no surprise here, a fairly healthy smattering of Republicans have jumped on the bandwagon. And what they are talking about right now is they are talking about not only the removal of anything related to Donald Trump, they are talking about the removal of anyone who is his follower, supporter, or voter. That's me and you. And when you look at this really, really evil movement that's happening right now, this is what the left has been waiting for decades. This is how they are going to justify carting people off to internment camps, FEMA camps, whatever you want to call them. That's exactly what's coming. And if you don't think that's coming, then hopefully this will serve as your wake-up call. Take a listen to this. Take a listen to Tucker talking about the truth behind the Trump impeachment. Take a listen.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. So it looks like they're impeaching Donald Trump again for the second time in 4 years, a week before he leaves office. With strong bipartisan support. Leaders of both parties appear in favor of this. No matter how angry you may be at Donald Trump tonight, and many of his voters are angry at him, watching this happen may confuse you. The chaos of an impeachment trial is hardly the peaceful and orderly transition of power both parties assure you they want. So why are they doing this? There has to be a reason. And indeed, there is one. First, let's be clear about what that reason is not. Legitimate moral outrage will play absolutely no role whatsoever in whatever impeachment proceedings occur. No matter what you hear, no matter how many times Jim Clyburn goes on television and talks about the civil rights movement, no matter how often you see the frail but determined Nancy Pelosi read lines like this.
We know that we faced enemies of the Constitution. We know we experienced the insurrection that violated the sanctity of the people's capital and attempted to overturn the duly recorded will of the American people. And we know that the President of the United States incited this insurrection, this armed rebellion against our common country. He must go. He is a clear and present danger to the nation that we all love.
So Nancy Pelosi says that Donald Trump is a clear and present danger. He is an enemy of the state. He must go. He must be removed. He must be taken out. And that's just the warm-up. Why are Democrats getting so excited about a man who's going to be out of office in less than 1 week? In 5 days from today, Joe Biden will be sworn in as president of the United States. In 6 days from today, the very first day of his very short presidency before his own people give him the 25th Amendment out the front door. But in 6 days from today, Joe Biden and the Democrats are going to be in control of the Congress, the Senate, and the White House. They will be able to pass any bill. They will be able to come up with any new law, any new regulation. And you would think that because they have all this power now, they have all the power, there is no checks and there is no balances. I want you to think about that too. We have a system here in America called a checks and balance system. Something has to be passed by the Congress, then the Senate has to approve, and the president has veto power. But when you have the entire thing controlled by one side, there is no checks and there are no balances. Congress will pass a bill, the Senate will approve it, and the president will rubber stamp it. And so, why are these people so up in arms about a man, Donald Trump, who literally is going to be removed from the office in 5 days? Well, the reason why they are so up in arms about Donald Trump, why they are acting like this is the worst thing that has ever happened to our country, because they want to use it as an excuse to get rid of you and to get rid of me. So they have to have all this pretend outrage about Donald Trump, even though for the last 4 years they have done nothing but attack him. They have done nothing but fan the flames of violence and riots. For 6 months during 2020, Black Lives Matter movement and Antifa caused over $2 billion worth of damage. Two women were raped. 12 people were murdered. And whole city blocks were destroyed. Businesses, black-owned, minority-owned businesses, were driven out of business and they haven't returned. And all of this was done by Black Lives Matter and Antifa, and all of it was done with the approval of the very same Democrats who are now outraged about Donald Trump. And this is how dictators operate, not Donald Trump, the Democrats. Trump was never a dictator. In fact, if we're being honest, when I look at a lot of the things that Donald Trump promised compared to what he actually did, I don't think that he went even close to far enough. He said he was going to build a wall. He built 450 miles of that wall. But that wall is 2,000 miles long. So he only accomplished 25% of what he said he would do. He said that there would be justice to people like Clinton with her 33,000 emails and Hunter Biden with his child pornography on his laptop and all this stuff. And nothing happened to any of those people. So Donald Trump may be a lot of things, but one thing Donald Trump is not, he is not a dictator, not even close to being a dictator. But Nancy Pelosi is absolutely a dictator. Joe Biden, who is going to make America wear a mask as a federal mandate for the first 100 days of darkness of his reign, Joe Biden is absolutely a dictator. Kamala Harris and all her Marxist friends, they are dictators. Donald Trump was never a dictator. He didn't even go far enough. He should have done more.
Oh, the nation we all love, of course. Yes, that lovable, irredeemably immoral nation that must change by force immediately and forever because it is so disgusting and stained by your sin. Yeah, they really love it here. They're just offended by Donald Trump. Right. Remember that for decades, and not that long ago, because we recall it vividly, the two most powerful Democrats in the United States Senate were Ted Kennedy and Robert Byrd. Ted Kennedy left a young woman to drown in a drunk driving accident. Robert Byrd was a recruiter for the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, so let's talk about that for a second. One of the most revered figures in the Democrat Party when I was growing up, one of the most lionized people in Washington was Senator Ted Edward Kennedy. It was Ted Kennedy. Yeah, well, that's Senator Ted Kennedy. Well, back in his early days, he was drinking with a bunch of his friends and he was driving his car. And he was riding in that car with a woman by the name of Mary Jo Kopechne. And because he was drunk, that car ran off of a bridge. It went into a river. And Ted Kennedy, he was terrified that that this scandal would ruin his political ambitions. So what did Ted Kennedy do? Ted Kennedy left that woman, Mary Jo Kopechne, to drown drunk in the back seat of that car. He could have pulled her out. He didn't pull her out. He left her to die. Then he lied about it, and then he covered it up. And it took all of his father's money, and it took all of his father's resources to make that scandal go away. And yet, Ted Kennedy went on to become one of the most revered and respected Democrats in Washington, D.C. The other one that Tucker had talked to you about, Robert Byrd, he was a recruiter for the KKK. So when these Democrats try to claim the moral high ground, or they say that they're outraged by something, don't believe a word of what they're saying. They only use outrage in order to justify putting some new law into place, some new type of restriction. That's why they have this outrage. It is all a dog and pony show. They all work with each other behind the scenes. They all have lunch with each other when they're done going on the camera, and Lindsey Graham will say all these things, and Mitch McConnell, and then a week later you see that Lindsey Graham is having lunch with Nancy Pelosi, and they're all the best buddies, and George Bush and Michelle Obama are huggy and kissy, and Clinton and Obama and Bush are all going to sit together when Biden is sworn in on the 20th. And don't believe a word. This is all a bunch of crap is what it is. But you have to understand how power works. The whole point of having power is to have power. And once you have power, the whole point of having power is to keep power. And George Orwell wrote about that in his book 1984. Orwell told you that the whole point behind having power was to retain power. This is what he said. Now I will tell you the answer to my question. It is this. The party seeks power entirely for its own sake. We are not interested in the good of others. We are interested solely in power, pure power. What pure power means, you will understand presently. We are different from the oligarchies of the past in that we know what we are doing. All of the others, even those who resembled ourselves, were cowards and hypocrites. The German Nazis, the Russian communists, they came very close to us in their methods, but they never had the courage to recognize their own motives. They pretended, perhaps they even believed, that they had seized power unwillingly and for a limited time, and that just around the corner there lay a paradise where human beings would be free and equal. We are not like that. We know that no one ever seizes power with the intention of relinquishing it. Power is not a means, it is an end. One does not establish a dictatorship in order to safeguard a revolution. One makes the revolution in order to establish the dictatorship. The object of persecution is persecution. The object of torture is torture. The object of power is power. Now you begin to understand me. George Orwell wrote those words in his book, 1984. And that's exactly what we're seeing play out in front of us on a daily basis. What we see is the power-hungry left who want you to believe that there is a radical MAGA uprising taking place. But in reality, what happened in the Capitol on Wednesday was a one-off event where Trump supporters were led astray willingly, and I don't excuse what they did. Don't get me wrong. If you're a Trump supporter who broke into the Capitol, you broke the law, and you should be tried, and if you're found guilty, you should be punished. I don't make any excuses for any Trump supporter that broke windows in the Capitol, that attacked the police, that did anything like that. We have been a ministry for the last 12 years. We have never called for violence of any kind, not even one time, not ever. And we never will. Because the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare, if you're a Bible believer, if you're a born-again Christian, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Carnal weapons are guns and knives and rocks and bats and bricks. Those are carnal weapons. And if you're a Trump supporter that was stupid enough to be riled up by Black Lives Matter and Antifa and convinced that it was a good idea to break into the Capitol, then you deserve what you get. And that's exactly the end of that story. But it doesn't stop there. And the reason why it doesn't stop there is because the radical left, who has seized power, the radical left wants you to believe that the revolution is happening with the Trump supporters and our democracy, which we have a constitutional republic, we don't have a democracy, It kind of makes you wonder, how is it possible that our elected leaders know what the right thing to do is if they don't even know what form of government we actually have? Every time that you hear any elected leader talk about safeguarding our democracy, that person is an idiot, because we don't have a democracy. We have a constitutional republic that is based on not mob rule, not on having more people on your side than the other side. We have a constitutional republic that is based on the rule of law, where the people have elected representatives who pass laws based on the will of the people. That's what we have. So when you hear people, don't ever talk about the American democracy. It is a constitutional republic. Now, that said, and hopefully that sunk in, what the Democrats want everybody to believe, the Democrats want everybody to believe that the rabid Trump supporters, all 75 million of us, are going to rise up and seize power from Washington, and that's a revolution, that's an insurrection, and it must be stopped. But that's not what Trump supporters are all about. That's not what I ever signed on for. But the real revolution that is working to create the dictatorship that Orwell wrote to warn you about, the real revolution is being waged right now by the Democratic Party. They are the ones who not only have they obtained power legally, so-called, but now, having obtained power legally, they want to illegally wipe out all traces of the opposition. Why do you think that Twitter is suddenly banning everybody who is a Christian or a conservative? Listen to Jack Dorsey talking about Twitter censorship.
We are focused on one account right now, but this is going to be much bigger than just one account, and it's going to go on for much longer than just this day, this week. I don't believe this is going away anytime soon, and the moves that we're making today around QAnon, for instance, is one such example of a much broader approach that we should be looking at and going deeper on.
So that was Twitter's CEO, and that was part of the video that was released from Project Veritas. And that is Jack Dorsey in a Zoom meeting with his inner circle talking about the ever-expanding censorship that started with Trump, went to QAnon, and is now going to go to everybody that Democrats are opposed to. Now, you might say to yourself, well, that's just stupid Twitter. It doesn't make any difference. You may be one of those people who are not on social media of any kind. But that is a very short-sighted statement to make. And the reason why I say that is because when you have a forum where the majority of people have decided to congregate, and then you begin to censor that forum, that is a very, 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 very dangerous precedent. So in our day, in 2021, the digital forum is the equivalent of a generation ago where people used to meet down at the mall, or they used to meet in the park, or they used to meet in the town square. Twitter and Facebook and all this social media, that is the new meeting place for a digital generation. And when you have people being censored, that is a very, very dangerous thing. And that's exactly what they're doing. Now, ironically, when I was a kid, the Democrats claimed to be the party of free speech. They claimed to be the party of the working person. They claimed to represent the forgotten man. But today, that is not what the Democrat Party is all about. The Democrat Party is filled with multimillionaires and billionaires who enrich themselves off of what used to be called public service. They're not called public servants anymore. Every single one of them are multi-millionaires, and the ones who haven't got there yet are in the process of getting their payday. And they are no longer servants of the public. They are a law and a regime unto themselves. And in 5 days, when Joe Biden is sworn in, and he will be sworn in, again, if you're waiting for the Trump revolution that's going to step in and he's going to activate those 25,000 soldiers that have who are right now ringed around the White House and the Capitol, that's not coming. So you can stop waiting for that. Take a listen. This is Tucker talking about investigating the threats and violence with Twitter. Take a listen to Tucker.
Well, after 100 years of championing the First Amendment, Democrats are now telling you that censorship is absolutely necessary to protect you. And their donors in big tech are happy to oblige. There's a lot of violent rhetoric they're not censoring, though, and that's kind of weird. David Marcus of The Federalists, works out of New York, has an amazing piece today in The New York Post describing all the things they're not censoring. And it makes you wonder why. Dave Marcus joins us tonight to explain. Dave, thanks so much for coming on. So what did you find?
Well, Twitter claims that it has to censor conservative voices and ban President Trump because they're in violation of their safety guidelines. So I did about a 10-minute search of Twitter's own platform and found hashtags like kill Trump, assassinate Trump. I found a user whose current name is pigs in a blanket, fry 'em like bacon, a reference to killing police. I found examples of Antifa using the platform to help organize their riots. So this only has to do with Twitter trying to silence its critics and protect its interests. Twitter doesn't care about the safety of the American people. The full comprehensive list of things that Twitter cares about are its money and its power.
What's so funny, though, is this has been such a successful tactic in pushing professional conservatives, the ones who are supposed to be defending us, back on their heels. You know, you can't believe what's on Parler. It's a cesspool of violence and filth. And they're like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to defend that. Nobody says what you're saying, which is, please, it's the Internet. There's a lot of garbage out there. Doesn't mean you should censor people.
No, absolutely. And the monopolistic banning of Parler is really troublesome. This is so much worse than any monopoly that we've seen before. I mean, railroad barons and Ma Bell didn't have a dark dystopian vision of the future in which people were locked in their houses staring at screens while machines went burr and brought them everything that they needed. And if that sounds familiar, it's because we just had a dress rehearsal of it. And what the big tech oligarchs learned is that a frightening number of the American people will simply sit down and take it. And why? Well, because of safety.
Well, and also they're anesthetized with Soma, you know, weed and Netflix. So it's like it's totally fine. Like I'm comfy, you know, let it happen. But I have to say it's hard, and I'm not a conspiracy in any way, but we just have had like 9 months of lockdowns that have made people increasingly dependent on digital technology companies. And then it turns out they can withhold the love if they want. I mean, maybe there's no connection, but it's kind of amazing, isn't it?
Oh, there's absolutely a connection. I mean, when Twitter spent months and months banning legitimate science that argued against lockdowns, right, and now suddenly my brilliant Governor Andrew Cuomo has had this amazing revelation that, oh, maybe lockdowns hurt people. There's clearly a connection. I mean, there's a connection to them burying the New York Post Hunter Biden story to undermine an election. All of these decisions operate, again, in their own interests. And my message to Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey is that he may be a billionaire and he may be frolicking on yachts with Beyonce and Jay-Z. I'm just a journalist, but there's millions of Americans like me who are not going to sit back and just take this.
That's totally right. And I have to say, I hate to judge people's parenting. It's very hard to be a parent, hard to take your kids to a restaurant. But the next time I see parents with little kids staring at an iPad in a restaurant, you know, if you walk by and a kid was like tugging on a Winston, you'd say, yeah, you're probably a little young to be smoking, right? But kids let their, I mean, kids are allowed by their parents to get completely addicted to this garbage, this poison, and nobody says anything.
So there you have Tucker talking about Twitter censorship. And the Twitter censorship is really an outgrowth of, as they touched on, everything that happened in 2020 with the COVID theater, with all these phony lockdowns and mandatory mask wearing. And what they did is they took 10 months of 2020 to get people in line, to get people beaten into submission, to get people afraid and to get people terrified. That was the whole point of the January 6th charge on the Capitol. And why you saw Antifa and Black Lives Matter mixed in with Trump supporters. Because the whole point was to make you afraid. The whole point was to shock you into submission. And now the Democrats are saying that they have the answer. And the answer is more censorship. The answer is more lockdown. The answer is an armed military presence in Washington. The answer is Humvees and helicopters going down the street and flying overhead. And the whole thing is fake, every bit of it. It is all fake. It's amazing, though, isn't it, how it's all coming together at the same time. And when you look at the higher level of what's going on, when you pull out to a 360-degree view, you go up there for the bird's eye view, then you begin to see how all these things are related to Bible prophecy. And you begin to see that these are not disconnected events that just coincidentally appear to be happening at the same time. Everything that we're seeing has all been planned and organized, and it's happening not only on a physical level, but it's happening on a spiritual level as well. We told you yesterday, in the UK, they are now mandating biometric immunity passports, and they have begun refusing entry to supermarkets and banks for people who are not wearing a mask. The CEO of COVID-19 vaccine maker Moderna warned on Wednesday, 2 days ago, that the coronavirus has brought the world's economies to a standstill and overwhelmed hospitals will be around, quote, forever. So there you have the CEO of the Bill Gates-funded Moderna Therapeutics in Texas, the people who are making a COVID-19 vaccine. And the head of that company stated on Wednesday that this crisis, this COVID, this manner of living that has been forced upon all of us is going to be around forever. And no one disagreed with him. No one stood up to say that's not right. I mean, when have you ever heard of any viral outbreak being around forever? 2019, 52,000 people died of the flu. 52,000. Think about that. Your average football stadium will hold about 45,000 people. And in a 6 month period in 2019, 7,000 more people than what would fill up an entire Coliseum, 7,000 more people than that died of the flu, and not one mask was mandatory. There was no lockdown. There was no staying 6 feet apart. There was no social distancing. 52,000 people in a 6 month period, and nobody batted an eyelash. But now we have COVID and all these restrictions and all this stuff. And you have to ask yourself, why are they doing this? Well, when you look in the book of Revelation, Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And the purpose of this mark... A lot of people get confused about what the mark of the beast is. The purpose of the mark of the beast is that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. What is the primary purpose of the mark of the beast? It is to allow the person who is wearing that mark the ability to buy something or sell something. Again, the mark of the beast has a purpose. The main purpose, in addition to the worship of Antichrist, the main purpose of the mark of the beast, according to Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17, the main purpose of the mark of the beast is to allow the owner of the mark the ability to buy something or sell something. When you go to Amazon, what do? You watch a video, you buy something, you sell something. When you go online, what do most people go online for? To buy something or to sell something. What is the main feature about the COVID lockdown? It is stopping people from buying things and selling things because it is shutting down businesses. It is crashing economies. All this debate about a $1,200 stimulus check or a $600 or a $2,000 or an endless series of free money. Why does the government feel that they have to give the people money? Well, because they have taken away the ability of most people to earn a living. And what does that have to do with buying and selling? The main impact of the lockdown is buying and selling. And what are they saying is the main reason for the COVID vaccine? So that you can return to buying and selling in the public marketplace. But in order to do that, you have to have the COVID vaccine. And not just once, but you have to have multiple injections of the COVID vaccine. And then, after you've gotten the vaccine, that's not good enough. Now you have to have some sort of digital verification that not only have you received the vaccine, but that you are not a threat to other people. There are tech companies right now that are working around the clock overtime to release and to roll out implantable digital biometric identification that will be 100% connected with the COVID vaccine and the immunity passport. That is what's happening right now. All across Europe, borders are being shut. The UK just shut its borders to everybody. Here in North America, the Canadian border is closed. Nations all over the world are going through tremendous economic hardship because of a virus that has a 99% recovery rate. So you want to talk about a conspiracy theory? You want to talk about the end times? You're living smack dab in the middle of it. But it's a funny thing. I used to live in California. I used to live in Los Angeles. And when you're about 20 miles out from downtown Los Angeles and you're driving back home, you can very clearly see the smog. It is not hard to see at all. It looks like this big brown mushroom cloud has settled over Los Angeles. But the closer you get to Los Angeles, the fainter and fainter that smog begins to get. And then by the time that you arrive at your destination, when you walk down a street in downtown LA, you're not aware of the smog. You don't even see it at that point. Smog is something that can really only be seen from a distance. And it's the same way with Bible prophecy. When we look forward to the time of Jacob's trouble, we can see in the Bible how crystal clear that it's laid out. But after the time of the rapture and when we're taken out of here, the people who are going to find themselves in that very same time period, they are not going to see it crystal clear, even though it is written there in the Bible. Think about when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. All through the Old Testament, it talked about the coming king. And in Micah chapter 5, it tells you exactly where the baby was going to be born. In Micah 5, it says this, "But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah. Yet out of thee shall come he forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings have been from of old, from everlasting. So all through the Old Testament, it told you where the Messiah was going to be born. It tells you, you know, who he was going to be, his nature, his character. And yet when it came time for Jesus to be born, there was almost nobody at his birth. Even the three wise men didn't get there till he was about 2 years old. Because by that point, Jesus and Mary were living in a house. And he was a child. He wasn't a baby at that point. So when Bible prophecy begins to come to pass, at the time that it's coming to pass, it can be a little hard to discern what you're looking at. And that's why for the past 11 months, we have ramped up our programming and our broadcasting. You remember last year, back in March, I think, we started the Monday and Friday podcast, and it only started out to be 45 minutes, and then it was an hour, and then it's 90 minutes. And the reason why we started these things, so that we could help you on a regular basis to understand about the times that we find ourselves in, and to look around at the things that are happening, and not to be sucked in and not to be confused by all these false flags and these white hat operations and all these revolutions and insurrections that Christians shouldn't have any part of. And let me tell you why. Turn to Acts chapter 5. If you have your King James Bible, turn to Acts chapter 5. We've gone over this many times. I'm only going to give it to you from a high level today. But in Acts chapter 5, Peter, James, and John are brought before the council because they are called insurrectionists. They are called rabble-rousers. And the council tells Peter, James, and John that they need to stop preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus Christ. So they bring them before the council, and they give them a verbal warning. They let them go. The apostles do not stop preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they bring them back before the council, and they give him another warning. And Acts chapter 5, 40 through 42 say this. And to him they agreed, and when they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they, the apostles, departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. Now, this is what we're supposed to be doing. We are not called to riot against the government. The government of Rome was every bit as wicked and evil and corrupt as the government of America has become. And yet, you will not find one verse anywhere in the New Testament that shows any of the apostles causing a revolution or an insurrection against the people in power. They didn't do it against the corrupt Jewish council, the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees. There is not one single apostle that formed a revolution to overthrow the temple council. Not one. And there is not one single apostle that formed a band of men together to attack the evil Roman government, who at that time was putting Christians to death. Now, I believe that's coming for us. I believe that in 2021, you are going to see a very high level of Christian persecution in America. And you say to me, what do we do? Well, I only have one answer for that. And some of you may not like that answer. But my answer is the Bible's answer. Yesterday, somebody on in the comment section of our website asked me, I read the article that you wrote about QAnon, whose side are you on, really? So this disgruntled commenter wanted to know whose side that I was on. I'll tell you whose side that I'm on. It's not QAnon. It's not the Democrats. It's not the Republicans. It's not Donald Trump. I am on the side of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that Jesus Christ is on my side. I'm saying that I am on his side. I am saying that I am on the side of the King James Bible. I am on the side of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am on the side of preaching and teaching like the apostles did. Now, you might say to me, well, brother, you just quoted Acts chapter 5, and that's not dispensationally correct. Because the dispensation changed in the end of Acts 7. And that's exactly right. But when you look at the Apostle Paul, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You want something that's dispensationally more accurate? You want something that's more rightly divided than Acts chapter 5, 40 through 42? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 22. This is our apostle. This is Paul. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times have I received 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A day and the night have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. That's our apostle. The same guy that says, follow me. Angelique has a question. She says, so if the apostles didn't follow their leaders, when do we stop listening to our corrupt leaders? That's a good question. And here's my answer. Stop following politics. Stop caring what the Democrats say. Stop caring what the Republicans say. Stop with all of the politics and get your eyes on Jesus Christ and realize that we have been left here to do a job. And that job is to witness to lost people and tell them that judgment is coming and that they need to get saved. That is the job that we are to do. We are not called to go have revolution in downtown Washington. The apostles didn't revolt. The apostles didn't storm the gates of Rome. The apostles didn't even storm the gates of the temple. So why do we think that we should be doing something different than what they did? The apostle Paul said that we are to follow him. Well, you can't follow politics and follow the Apostle Paul at the same time. Now, you might say to me, if you're telling us to get our eyes off of politics, then why do you write about politics? I write about politics to get your attention so that I can talk to you about Jesus Christ. I write about politics to show you how corrupt our political system is. It is irredeemably broken. It is irredeemably corrupt. God is going to destroy the whole thing. And when Jesus comes to rule and reign for 1,000 years, it's going to be a military dictatorship. Have you ever looked in Revelation 19? Have you ever looked at the type of government that Jesus is going to bring in? In Revelation 19, it says this, and out of his mouth goeth the sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the government that Jesus brings in. There's no voting. You're not going to get a chance to voice your objections in a town hall meeting. The government that Jesus Christ brings in is perfect rule, perfect righteousness, perfect law, perfect justice, and perfect grace. Everything will be present all at the same time. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God will meet. But it's not going to be politics the way that we have politics right now. Turn to Acts chapter 26, and I want to show you how the Apostle Paul used politics. When Jesus knocked him off his horse in Acts chapter 9, he gave him a commission. He told him what he was supposed to do. And in Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul is recounting that to King Agrippa. And the Apostle Paul is there as a prisoner. The Apostle Paul is in chains. And before the king, he starts talking. And he starts to tell the king how Jesus Christ met him that day. Take a listen to what the Apostle Paul said to King Agrippa about the day that he met Jesus Christ. Acts 26, starting in verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That is the commission that Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul, to witness to the entire world, to stand before kings, and to preach and teach the gospel of the grace of God. You cannot mix politics and Christianity. The moment that a Christian becomes a politician, they are no longer a Christian. I'm not saying that they lose their salvation. I'm not saying that they are no longer saved. But turn to Acts chapter 11. Being a Christian is a step or two past just simply being saved. In Acts chapter 11, look down in verse 26. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. In the context, a believer becomes a disciple, and that disciple, by following Jesus Christ through the revelation of the word, through Bible study, whatever you want to call it. But in Antioch, you had Barnabas and Saul spending an entire year with with the people there. And after that time of preaching and teaching and studying the word, then they were called Christians. How many times have you heard somebody say, oh, the term Christian was a derogatory term, that, and it was an insult? Where do you read that in the Bible? Can you show me one Bible verse that says being called a Christian is an insult? You won't find it. I've never found it. And yet that is the common, you know, accepted position of the commentators. But when I look at the Bible, that verse that I just read to you in Acts 11:26, the very first time that the word Christian is mentioned in the Bible, it is not derogatory at all. It's highly complimentary. So this idea that they invented the term Christian as an insult to mock people, that is not true at all. In Acts 11:26, these people in Antioch are commended because they spent a year with Barnabas and Paul, and they studied and they followed after Jesus Christ, and they applied themselves and they preached the word and they taught the word. And after one whole year of doing that, they earned the right to be called a Christian. Now, that's not an insult. That's a compliment. That's a badge of honor. So how can you be a Christian and be a politician where you have to compromise what you know to be true every single day on every single level? And you'll have people who will say, well, that's right. We have to compromise and we have to get down in the dirt. And we have to get down there in the slime and the corruption. But when we're done, we're going to pass this bill, and this bill's going to help people. But at what cost does that meager amount of help come? Have you been looking at these stimulus packages? The first stimulus where they gave a very select group of people, I did not receive a stimulus check. But that very first package where they gave individual Americans a $1,200 stimulus, that was part of a multi-billion trillion dollar package that mostly benefited Wall Street, the banks, and big corporations. So you say, yeah, look, we passed this bill and we're going to give a select group of people $1,200 apiece. But we're going to give the Wall Street bankers and all these other oligarchs and these tech monopolies that are now crushing us, we're going to give them hundreds of billions of dollars while we give the American people peanuts. But when we brag about this bill, we're not going to mention the hundreds of billions to the big tech companies. We're going to brag about the peanuts that we gave to the American people, and that's what justifies swimming in a sea of corruption in order to get something like that done. Now, do you see why I say that there are no Christians in politics? You can't name one. Now, you may point to somebody who just got elected and they haven't started to serve yet, but the moment that they get in the ring with these very wicked, very corrupt people who only care about their own enrichment, that is where they will no longer have the right to call themselves Christians. Look at Joe Biden. Joe Biden is a hardcore Catholic. That's what he says. And we know that Catholics are not Christians, but they say that they are. So just for the sake of this conversation, we'll spot them that. But Joe Biden says that his strong Catholic faith is very important to him. But he has no problem allowing third-term abortion. He has no problem with due date abortion. He has no problem with 8-year-old children being manipulated into becoming transgender. Now, what type of faith is it that causes you to promote everything that God hates? That's not faith, and that's not God. That's the devil. So when you look at all these people, right? Even when you look at people, at Christians who protest abortion clinics, I think abortion is a terrible thing. I think abortion is a 21st century Holocaust. I am against abortion as much as any other Christian could possibly be against abortion. But let me ask you a question. Those people who go to abortion clinics, what's their biggest problem? Is their biggest problem what they're about to do? Because when that baby is killed, what happens to that soul? That soul goes to heaven. God takes care of that. God protects that baby. But what happens to the person who commits the abortion? And when they come out of that abortion clinic, what do you think is the number one thing that you should be telling that person? Should you be screaming in their face that abortion is murder? There's not one single person who ever had an abortion that does not know that abortion is murder. Not one person is unaware of that. But if you're a Christian and you want to go protest an abortion clinic, you better be there to preach and teach the gospel of the grace of God so that people get saved. If all that you're doing is standing outside of Planned Parenthood and simply holding signs that state the obvious, that abortion is murder, you're really not accomplishing very much. But if you were to go to an abortion clinic and hold signs saying that you need to be saved and telling people that you'll wind up in hell if you die unsaved, and not just telling them that they're lost, but telling them how they can get saved and how they can have full pardon and forgiveness of their sins with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now you're accomplishing something. Now you're getting something done. Everybody knows that abortion is murder. And if all that you're going to do is go to a Planned Parenthood and simply state the obvious redundantly and repetitively, don't even bother. It's a waste of time. But man, oh man, if you go to that same abortion clinic and you start telling people how to get saved, don't focus on the sin, focus on the solution. Sinners know that they're sinners. You don't think that people who spend five nights each week drunk at the bar, people that smoke cigarettes and smoke pot and get drunk and take drugs and fornicate and lie and cheat and steal, you don't think that those people know that what they're doing is wrong? Everybody has a conscience. The Nazis knew what they were doing was wrong. That's why they had to take drugs like methamphetamines. It was called Pervitin. But that's why the Nazis had to take drugs, because their conscience was bothering them so badly. And they had to be anesthetized to that. And that's why Adolf Hitler ordered that the Nazi military included this drug called Pervitin, which was really just methamphetamines. And every German soldier in the Third Reich had to take this drug on a daily basis. And it spread to the housewives. And, you know, after a couple of years of this, just about three quarters of the entire nation of Germany were addicted to this drug called Pervitin, which was nothing more than methamphetamines. And it changed the way that they thought. And it went a long way towards silencing their guilty consciences. Brother Willie is asking, doesn't a seared conscience make you immune to feeling things? It absolutely does. But that's why people allow their conscience to be seared, because they want it to stop convicting them. That's why people drink. That's why people take drugs. That's why people get high, because they want to stop the conviction that their own conscience is giving them. Well, how does all this relate to what's happening in Washington, D.C. right now? Everything that you're seeing is theater. It's a dog and pony show. If you're a Bible believer, if you're a born-again Christian, you have got to rise above. This is a trap to pull you in. This is a trick to get you stop preaching and teaching the gospel of the grace of God and get you focused on corrupt politics. Look, if you're a Democrat, I hate to break it to you, the Democrats stink. They are an evil, wicked, corrupt group of people. And if you're Republican, I hate to break it to you, you guys are wicked, evil, and corrupt, maybe not for the exact same reasons that the Democrats are evil, wicked, and corrupt. But if you're a Republican, the Republican Party is irredeemably damaged. The Democrat Party is irredeemably damaged. Now, do you really want to spend whatever time that we have left before the rapture? Do you really want to spend that time arguing politics? Do you really want it, if you're a Democrat and you're going to argue against Trump and for censorship, if you're a Republican, you're going to argue for Trump and against censorship? But do you really want to spend whatever time that we have left on corrupt, wicked, evil politics where self-serving people destroy the people they serve in order to enrich themselves and expand their fortunes? I say literally to hell with the whole thing. I pray that the judgment that God has started on the world in general, on America in particular, I say, Father God, thy will be done. And I want to see God wreck the whole thing. I'm not talking about me and you standing up and helping God out. I'm not talking about that at all. But man, oh man, America has rejected God for so long. America is irredeemable. And America is going to get what's coming to her. And that's, you've got to decide, which side do you want to be on? That question was asked of me yesterday. What side are you on? I'm on the side of Jesus Christ. I'm on the side of the King James Bible. I'm on the side of telling lost people that they need to get saved. I'm on the side of telling saved people that they need to get on fire for Jesus Christ, because he's coming to get us soon, and you better get something done for him, because that door is closing, that window is closing, and when it's closed, you'll have no more opportunity to get something done for Jesus Christ. Now, you pick which side you're on. And I want you to watch the headlines this weekend. For those of you who think that Donald Trump is going to all these emails and this, and I'll finish where we started. If you think that this email campaign that's been going around that absolutely everybody has been hit by, if you would see some of the people that are asking me, are these emails real? It would blow your mind. They're not real. But I want you to pay close attention to the things that happened this weekend, because if Donald Trump is going to order the standing army in Washington, D.C. to storm the halls of Congress and arrest the Democrats who knowingly, as the emails say, knowingly certified a false election, you watch the headlines, you see if it happens. And we'll meet back here Monday, noon Eastern time, and we'll see what happened. And we'll see what took place, and more importantly, we'll see what did not take place. And with that, I hope everybody has a good, safe weekend. Don't get sucked into the fight. Don't get sucked into the arguments, because once you're there, you jump into the ocean with the sharks. Guess what? You get eaten by the sharks. You got to stay out of the ocean if you want to beat the shark. I hope you guys have a great weekend, and Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday morning, 11 p.m. 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another edition of the NTEB House Church Sunday Morning Service. Have a great weekend, everybody.